It is a very good afternoon. It's Niall Boyd. I gotta say, it's kind of hard to keep up with what's going on at the moment, isn't it? Ireland is in turmoil. If you thought the immigration process and crisis was bad, it's about to get a lot worse. We spoke to Nigel Farage going back a few months ago, and he said his advice to the Irish government was, you think things are bad now, you ain't seen nothing yet. Well, he certainly wasn't lying, because over the next 6 weeks, of course, with the Rwanda bill in the UK, it does look like things are going to get a lot worse. And now we have a diplomatic problem between Ireland and the UK. Now, the Gardaí are said to be deploying people to the border with Northern Ireland amid the row over the UK and asylum seekers. And Rishi Sunak has said he's not interested in taking back asylum seekers. They're all yours, mate. You can have them. Thousands eligible for UK's Rwanda scheme have lost contact with the Home Office. Just to give you some idea, because I don't know the exact numbers, but I'll find out in a second. To give you some idea, I suppose, in relation to this, there's possibly between 700,000 and 1.2 million illegal immigrants in the United Kingdom. Now, I don't know if the Home Office know the exact location of all those people. Many of them might be in direct provision centres or hotels or flotillas or whatever it happens to be. But will they be able to contact them all? The Justice Minister brings law to Cabinet to override Irish High Court ruling. That means the UK cannot be considered a safe country for return of applicants. But now, just on RTÉ at the moment, the Justice Minister, Helen McEntee, has said that she's bringing in legislation right away. It's been done to day to sort that out. She did say, by the way, and I'm just going to quote her here, she says, speaking on the way to the meeting to Cabinet, she said she hopes the legislation will be enacted in a matter of weeks so people can effectively be returned and it will allow for fast processing. So what is the solution for Ireland? Do you believe we, for example, should have a border in Northern Ireland? Do you believe we should have a border down the Irish Sea, like Aintua have suggested? That's going to be a hard sell, as I said, for the unionists in Northern Ireland. Do you believe the government are dealing with this problem? Are we out of control completely? Let me know what you think. The number is 085 122 55. Let me go to Clarity if I can. Clarity, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall, great.
Clarity, now, I know you live, I don't want to point out your exact address, but you're very familiar with 10 City and Mount Street.
I own a property on Grafton Street.
Okay. And it looks like, from what we're led to believe over the next 6 weeks, and I certainly don't want to be scaremongering people, but it does look like those numbers are going to get bigger rather than smaller.
Mm-hmm.
And that's mm-hmm. not a good situation for the people, firstly, who live in the area. Maybe describe to us, you know, what it's like now living in that area.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a year and 3 months, so nearly 15, almost going on 16 months since there have been anywhere, at the lowest time, it was about 150 to 200 individuals. There was a period of time between August and October of last year where the nonprofits were able to get the individuals who were living on the street, the refugees, into accommodation that was more appropriate, hotels. And then I think in the wake of the riots and then individual, hotels and accommodations that are being lined up for the refugees have been attacked. They have decided to stay near the IPO office, which is just around the corner from my gas, in order as a sign of protest. And unfortunately, the situation has gone from bad to worse. There was a brief period over St. Paddy's Day weekend where, for optics reasons, they carted them all out to a campground.
I remember that, yeah.
In Wicklow, and then they were all back by the next day.
They all walked back, by the way. They got to kind of say, we're not having any of this.
Did. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they really did walk back.
Well, if I was them, I'd rather be in a tent in Dublin City than be in a tent out in the middle of the mountains somewhere.
Well, absolutely, because the Capuchin Center is 2.4 kilometers from my gas and from the area where this encampment is. And so that's the nearest place that they can go for showers and resources. So what's happening now every day is that the toilet, like the street is being used like a toilet. They've urinated on my property and my gate so much that like the gate and all of the garage doors have to be replaced. They've attacked, one of my female tenants who's renting out a room. She was sexually assaulted and also ordered Tesco, and the Tesco delivery driver who was dropping off the groceries was also attacked, and the van was mobbed, and so she's not able to receive groceries. And now all of the tenants, there's 27 people who live in the units, literally 25 meters away from the entrance to the IPO, and there's 220 right now individuals that are living there, all men, various ages. They sell drugs, they have gangs, they have, fighting, they had a scabies outbreak about 2 months ago that hospitalized six people. The Garda have, you know, said that they absolutely have the right to, air quotes, protest. Although when individuals were going out in front of Roderick O'Gorman's house for 3.5 hours, he said it's, you know, absolutely unconstitutional and not fair.
But yet they're protesting outside your house.
A year and 3 months, 15 months of protest, air quotes. And the nonprofits come in and they try to help. You have also, you know, right-wing anti-immigrant racist nutbags coming in and making videos, antagonizing the situation on a regular basis, which is also unsafe from the opposite side. I mean, it's really unconscionable. The worst part about it is that we have written 6 emails to Roderick O'Gorman, every single TD in D2, D4, and also reached out to the Garda, every single nonprofit that's dealing with the situation. And now all of the owners and the businesses in the area are trying to pull together enough funding to launch a class action lawsuit against Dublin City Council and the government.
And the fact that you're telling me that, you know, amongst these people who are living in the tents, there's gangs, they're urinating in public, they're destroying the area, they're attacking people, they're fighting, it's public order problem. Are the Garda Síochána dealing with those problems individually as they're happening? Are people being arrested?
No. I mean, the Garda, in private conversations I've had with individual Gardaí, they've related to me that they've been instructed to not antagonize the situation. And so therefore, unless it's something that's gross, they'll have a chat with people and they'll shoo people away if they come to, you know, agitate, for example, protesters that look like they might be getting violent, or, you know, individuals, if they're being assaulted or catcalled or whatever, they'll intervene to the extent that they'll give them a stern talking to, in essence. But they're, you know, an off the record conversation I've had with several of them is that their hands are absolutely tied. They've been instructed at the highest levels to not intervene, and this is
so you're telling me when the individuals who are living in the tents are involved in a public order incident, and you've spoken about many of those public order incidents, the guards are being told, leave it alone, just let's not, unless they do something very serious, just leave it be.
We've never seen anybody arrested or taken away.
That's incredible. Getting back to your friend, by the way, who was sexually assaulted, what happened to her?
It was an individual who, she was walking home at night from work, and now all of the ladies in the neighborhood walk in pairs or groups of individuals, and they don't leave. So we basically there's a couple other landlords in the area who have like rooms to rent, and they've lost huge amounts of vacancy. Some of them are about to default on their mortgages because they're getting no breaks from the banks or lending institutions because you can't rent out a property that's literally in a public health hazard. And there's been no advice, but basically she was walking out by herself and a gentleman grabbed her by the elbow and she ran and she made the dash, and other people in the encampment intervened and she dashed into the gaff. And then ever since then, she's been living with her family back in the countryside.
She make a complaint to the guards that she had been assaulted?
Yeah, we did. We made a complaint. I mean, there's the amount of complaints, the amount of emails. It's hundreds of pages.
And was anything done? Was anybody charged? No.
They came down.
That sounds like a purge, by the way. It does sound like the purge, doesn't it?
It's macabre, honestly. I'm an immigrant of Ireland. I just naturalized myself. I'm now an Irish citizen, and I come from Irish heritage in the United States. And as an immigrant of Ireland, I've always been really proud of this country, but it's appalling. And it's honestly the politicians whom I blame. They're like the level of apathy on their part. For example, like we can spin up a whole electric picnic in 2 days. And, you know, I come from military heritage. You have the military barracks and Rathmines just sitting there, fully, you know, able that you have, you know, all of the rings under Docklands corporate offices that are at maximum 20% occupancy. And I know they're not fit for purpose residences. They don't have, you know, showers and those sorts of facilities necessarily.
Yeah.
But anything in this housing crisis, anything would be better than this. I've never seen anything like it. And I used to work with homeless children in Skid Row in Los Angeles, where I'm from, but they have 350,000 homeless people. And this is as bad as I've ever seen. I mean, it's a public health crisis. It's a moral crisis. It's a socioeconomic crisis. It's terrible for the refugees who are getting harassed where they really are fleeing from a state. It's terrible for the individuals where they're just drug dealers that come in through Northern Ireland because Rishi Sunak doesn't want them back. It's really a deplorable
situation. Have you spoke to the refugees who are living in the tents there? Have you ever spoken?
Yeah.
And where were they primarily coming from? Or do you know where they're coming from? Have they told you, or do you think they're telling you the truth?
There's a large percentage of like North Africans in the community. It ebbs and flows. Right now, there's a new surge of Palestinians, unsurprisingly. Of the 200, there's probably 20 or so that are of Palestinian descent. There's others that are of, Pakistani and other descent, and then a few Ukrainians as well. It's kind of a mixed bag, and it ebbs and flows, because it's never, what'll happen is they'll have a movement where the charities will come in and move them into shorter term, longer term or stable solutions. And then the new wave will come in behind them. So it's constantly changing.
I can understand the loss of revenue for people renting out rooms or renting out apartments there, because who's going to want to rent an apartment beside that? Nobody. And this is a question I put to politicians recently. I mean, we were talking about the division in society and what's happening in Ireland currently at the moment, when you see refugees being moved into small towns or whatever it is in protests, right? And I said, I want politicians to be honest. If somebody said to you, I'm opening a centre next door with 500 refugees in it, would you like it? And, any politician who says, I wouldn't mind, is lying. They'd just be lying to you, because, like you said, you've got now women walking in pairs because they fear for their own safety. Your friend is assaulted. They're urinating. There's outbreaks of disease because of the situation they're living in. I mean, I can't understand how this, and the Garda Síochána have been told to ignore it, essentially. I can't understand how this is allowed to happen. The mind boggles.
I've never seen anything like it. Honestly.
Stay there for a second. Okay, just stay there for a second, because I want to see if we can get some sort of solutions here. Morris, hi, how are you?
No, good afternoon, how are you? Sorry. That's terrific, that story that woman is telling.
But she's living right in the middle of Tent City, as it's now known. Yeah.
It's like a war zone. She's describing living in a war zone, and people getting sexually assaulted, right? What does that tell you about the calibre of the people that are coming here looking for safety?
Well, let's be clear, they're not all of that caliber. But yes, there are individuals. We don't know who they are. There are individuals of that caliber, possibly, yeah.
Well, I'm just saying to you, if somebody's coming to this country and they're looking for protection, and then they're attacking the very citizens of the country that they're looking for protection for, what does that tell you about them? If they've no passport, no ID, get them out. They don't deserve to be here. They're running from England because England is the colonial master of the world. Every country England conquered and colonized is coming back to pay back England. And now they told them, oh, no, you can't stay here. You can go to Rwanda and be processed, cross the border into Ireland. We're the dumping ground for the colonizers of Europe, if not the world. And we need to pay them back. So I'm an ex-army man. Oh, you know what it is like to do patrols and be on duty up at the border when we had the troubles and everything else and the guards were there. Get the guards back up around the border. Anybody that hasn't got ID coming across.
But hey, Morris, hold on. When the guards are being told, these men, and they are men, in the tents, are assaulting people, they're basically harassing people, they're urinating on people's front doors, they're taking drugs, there's criminal gangs involved in it, and the guards are being told, unless something serious happens, turn a blind eye to that. And that's what she's been told off the record. I mean, that's outrageous. You can't have that situation in a modern city. You just can't.
And the more they leave that situation like that, the more Irish citizens and vulnerable people are being put at risk. That's the problem.
Okay, let's get quickly then to today's topic, which is, what is the solution? Because this is now going to get a lot worse. We now have a diplomatic problem between Ireland and England, and they don't care because they have an election coming this week and they just want to be popular, right? So, realistically, what are we going to do now? The British don't want them. They're all going to come here. You've listened to Paul Turner, who was on the show at the start, who's a UK immigration barrister and specialist, and he said his colleagues within the law firms all across the UK are telling them, go to Ireland. That's their easiest, that's the safest bet.
Economical migrants, that's all the...
So what do we do? What are we going to do now?
We have to protect our border.
So how? How?
Garda patrols.
Where? And Newry?
Checkpoints. Yeah, anybody coming across that's on official business, anybody that comes across with no ID and is from a refugee country or from a continent the refugees are storming in from, there was a guy out there.
Ah, you're going to have complaints of racial profiling and all sorts of... But here's the thing. But Morris, I agree with you from a principled point of view. But we have a Good Friday Agreement. We have a common travel area between Northern Ireland and Ireland. The last thing we need is memories reminiscent of the troubles, you know, the 1970s, where you have a lad standing in the middle of the road or 10 guards in the middle of the road stopping every single car. That's not going to be a good optics for Ireland, is it?
Well, what do you do to protect the state? And I know on your program, one of the news agents, they spoke to a guy outside the offices down in Mount Street, and he says, oh, I came in from England. I lived in Birmingham for six
months.
That's
right, yeah.
You have a high risk of getting stabbed there, so I came here to get benefits and a house.
Yeah, I know what he said was, all I want is a house. I'm going, join the queue, pal. Yeah.
Exactly. But he lived in Birmingham for 6 months.
Yeah, I know. But here's the thing. He doesn't qualify as an asylum seeker. But the process here is so slow and laborious and dreadful that we can't seem to get a hand on it. And what really pisses me off is, during COVID-19, we could set up offices all over Ireland with new staff to do track and trace. Do you remember all that kind of carry on?
We did
that in days. We managed to set all of that up in days. But yet we can't seem to process asylum seekers in less than 6 months. What the hell is wrong with us?
And people come on your show and said, I was pulled by the guards. They said you're outside your 5K zone. We have people coming into the country from halfway around the world and they're doing nothing about us.
Stay there for a second. Hang on. Let me just go to Stephen as well. Stephen, hi, how are you?
Grand, thank you, Niall.
Stephen, this isn't just a... No matter how left-wing you happen to be, this is a diabolical mess.
Oh, yeah, it's another... You know, farce isn't a good enough word. Shit show isn't a good enough word. It is pure and utter stupidity on behalf of our government and the services existing within it. You know, we just don't know what to do, so we're not going to do anything and just hope that the problem goes away.
Well, it's not going to go away. It's not going to go away.
Die, you know, that enough people in the tents on Man Street or somewhere will die, or somebody will set fire to them, or, you know, we'll just keep
fighting. And by the way, I don't want to see violence on it.
Yeah. Put them up.
I don't seem to see violence on any side of this argument. But I also have to take into consideration, say, for example, people like Clarity, who is on, who lives there. She's living in an apartment in Mount Street in the middle of all that. They're pissing against her railings. She doesn't feel safe going out the door. And by the way, Clarity is on the left. She's all for humanitarian causes. Like, she's worked with homeless agencies in the past, you know. Mm-hmm. So, but she now is in a situation where her friend who rents out a room can't even rent out a room anymore. They're losing income. They're not going to be able to pay their mortgages because nobody wants to live beside that. Nobody. Who'd want to live there? I don't care how left you are or how humanitarian your bones are. You're not going to want to live there. It's dangerous.
And it is a thing that we have just let happen. The arms of the state have let it happen, while also, you know, not doing anything with Baggot Street hospitals or anything like that, which is within a stone's throw. The fact of the matter is that the services exist within the city centre to help homeless people and people in need. So it's a natural thing that anyone needing those services will go within, you know, a reasonable distance from them. You know,
but Stephen, I'm not having a go at you, but it's your gang. You know what I mean? When I say your gang, right? The people I'm up against in the European elections, for example, by the way, vote for me, number one in the European elections on the 7th of June. But the people I'm up against, you know, the people before Profit, the Labour Party and Sinn Féin up to recently, although they've done a U-turn now, you know, they're the ones who were kind of saying, oh, let's not cap any numbers. You know, and then they're down there on Mount Street doing these videos to promote themselves saying, isn't this awful? You created this by saying there's no limit on numbers, even though we'd know where to put people. They created this.
And, you know, there are a lot of people that are responsible through inaction or deliberate action and decisions made. Like, somebody is making a shit ton of money out of this. Somebody is making an awful lot of political capital out of it.
Absolutely.
And just on that note, if Patter wants to put a border down the sea, I can get hold of about 3 dozen dinghies and I can sit him and the rest of them in them and they can sit on anchor at 20 miles off the coast.
I did offer Padder an opportunity. He hasn't come back to me. I did offer him an opportunity to come on the show today. But because now Padder believes that, you know, a border down the RSC, although we had this conversation during Brexit, a border down the RSC wouldn't affect the common travel area, that there is actually, some part of the law that doesn't affect the common travel area, that you can do it strictly for migration. But that would mean communication, obviously, with Stormont. Seemingly, you know, our Justice Minister hasn't even picked up the phone to Michelle Smith at this stage, and I don't understand why. But there has to be something done to stop this from happening, because it is going to be a bureaucratic nightmare to try and remove people who come here in the next 6 to 7 weeks.
Mm. Well, it's already a bureaucratic nightmare. Nightmare isn't even a strong enough word for it. And the common travel area has existed long before the Good Friday agreements and things like that. So it's legislation that nobody wants to change because, you know, it will create far more problems than it's worth. And as for, you know, stopping people on the roads and things like that, I also know somebody who served up in the north during the Troubles, and it doesn't work.
Sorry, I meant to say Michelle O'Neill earlier, not Michelle Smith, yeah. Sorry.
With every boreen and second fence and river and things like that that percolates through the northern border, it's not possible to police it. And that's part of the reason the Gardaí stopped doing checks. They were doing them 7 years ago. And they partially stopped doing.
Well, we did a great job. But back in, what was it, 2001, wasn't it? The foot and mouth. Was it 2001 or 2000? You know, we kind of did a good job there at stopping all the traffic coming from Northern Ireland because of the mad cow disease. So we managed to do it then. We managed to do, you know, a huge lot of checks and balances of people coming from the United Kingdom at that time. You know, so much so that we kept us pretty much out of Ireland. So if we could do it then, why can't we do it now? If that's the case, if that's the road you want to head down, although I think that's going to be not a good plan. I don't think you're going to sell that to unionists in Northern Ireland very well, really, to be honest. They won't be too pleased with that.
But no, I don't think it'll work. The budget for it alone would bankrupt a couple of countries because you'd have to do it 24 hours a day.
Of course.
You'd have to stop every lorry and everything else to stop to check things and things like that. And look how well that's working for Israel right now.
But we can't continue to let people come into this country the way we've been doing it. And we spoke to the barrister earlier on about people who are coming into the United Kingdom who have no identification. And he talked about the fact that, you know, we've no way of checking, for example, people from Afghanistan or Somalia or wherever they happen to be, Sudan, wherever they happen to be. We have no way of checking if the person they say they are is not the person they say they are. They could have been guilty of murder. They could have been guilty of manslaughter. They could have been guilty of rape. It doesn't matter. And they tell us a different name. We have no way of checking that.
Yeah, but just on, because I had 2 points I was going to make, but on that point, like the people coming in, it's not our responsibility to deal with them if they're fleeing a conviction or something like that. It's not our responsibility to then find out and put them into a prison. It's our responsibility to keep them safe and everybody else safe, which is part of the
country. Is it not our duty? Anyway. But is it not our duty if we don't know who somebody
to protect
is?
The citizens of the country, yeah.
Well, that's our primary duty. So our duty then is to remove them from the state.
Well, no, my solution for the, at least temporarily, until we can ascertain as much truth to each individual as possible, is to put them into these emergency centres that they're talking about. The barracks that we own, the hospitals that we own, the...
Are you talking about, when you say emergency centres, are you talking about detaining people or are you talking about free movement? Because if you're allowing somebody in the country...
No, I'm talking about detaining people.
Okay, so you're locking the key.
Which sounds odd, from, I'm sure, from me. Well, not necessarily, but we've been doing that for 20 years with direct provision anyway, so...
But why not speed up the process? I don't know what the bureaucrat or what the administrative problem is in speeding up a process, right? But I mean, as I said, during COVID, we could put together processes very quickly. So I have no idea why we can't do this now. A lot of the reason why we don't do it is because NGOs put so much pressure on the government with a vested interest and not with an interest of the people of this country. But Stephen, you are 100% right.
We can put services in, but we can dream up services. But you have to look at how actually functional a lot of those services were during the pandemic. Like track and trace, I never got notifications. The app never worked. You know,
I got the odd text every now and again.
Brilliant ideas, you know, but they're all brilliant ideas. But if they're not actually going to work, then it doesn't matter. It's the same with Rishi Sunak. This is a wonderful idea. It's like, off you go, cross the Irish Sea there and down. Just make sure you hit Dundalk. It's got lovely whiskey and then into Dublin and away we go.
Well, stay there for a second because I don't think it's going to be a laughing matter in the next few weeks. Stephen, stay there. Morris, you've been listening to Stephen talking in relation to what we should and shouldn't do. There's been so many suggestions this morning, Morris, including putting a border down the Irish Sea. I mean, what do you think is the answer to this?
I have a few suggestions, Niall. What we should do is, in relation to foot and mouth, for instance, we had to work with unison with the UK government. So the island of Ireland, for instance, acted as one, and we had cooperation with the Assembly in the North back in the 2000s.
2001, actually, I think, wasn't it? Yeah.
2001. And we stopped it from coming to the island. Well, we have to come to some sort of an agreement with the UK government. The Irish government has to come to some sort of an arrangement with the UK government. For instance, Rishi Sunak, for political reasons and for political capital, is trying to look strong. He's facing a general election. So more than likely, he's not going to be willing to take back people that have already reached the Republic. So we should try and come to an arrangement where we can prevent more people from coming. That means checks in relation to people who are trying to get into Belfast Airport, for instance, Derry. Also, we should have laws passed that, for instance, if anyone comes in here illegally and is proven, so for instance, 85% of people have been, who claim asylum have been found out to be false, that, you know, they should be...
They're not genuine asylum seekers. I don't know if that's the exact statistic, but they're not... Yes, the majority are not genuine asylum seekers.
So they're trying to defraud the state. So what they should be punished by a lifetime ban ever setting foot in the country again. And Europe should implement something like that EU-wide.
But how do you remove them? Where the problem is... Thanks to our silly MEPs who said the EU migration pact will probably come in anyway. But where do we send people? You know, when we're being told, Britain is not a safe country, you can't send them there. France don't want them. You know, the rest of Europe don't particularly want them either. So what are you going to do with them? What do we do? Put them on a plane, send them back to, you know, Afghanistan? Or, I mean, what do you do?
I'd send them back. And what we should be doing is, for instance, the Danes have come up with a solution. And what they were saying is that what they're planning on doing is that, you know, if someone's coming from Eritrea, someone's coming from Somalia, Kenya is a safe country. Kenya might not be a rich country, but it's an up-and-coming country in the continent of Africa. Not every country in Africa is war-torn. And what you could do in, for instance, Kenya is you could make an arrangement with the Kenyan government and say, right...
Similar to what the United Kingdom and Rwanda is what you're saying. You'd have to pay for that, obviously.
Similar, but only people who qualify as refugees can go there and will provide you with healthcare, education or whatever you need, but you're not coming, you're not, just because you're asylum, you claim to be a refugee or an asylum seeker, doesn't give you the right to cross 20 safe countries just because they're poor and you don't feel like going there and your aim is to go into Europe, get a free house and draw off the system. That shouldn't be, that's like, if you look at World War II, for instance, did you see the Germans, for instance, who lost everything? You know, they had to rebuild their country. Same with other people in the continent of Europe. That's the way it should be. It shouldn't be,
let me just ask Stephen. Stephen, you know, I mean, what we've seen with Britain do is send them to a safe place. Well, it could be considered a safe place, Rwanda. Morris is saying Eritrea. There's other places on the African continent, for example, where primarily a lot of people are coming from, that would be considered to be safe places that we should make an agreement with somewhere to send people to, because we just can't deal with it. We have a housing crisis.
Yeah, but, you know, surely you and most of the people have seen that clip from Question Time where a man in the audience said to one of the British ministers, I think it was the finance minister, whose name I won't try to pronounce in case I get it wrong, whatchamacallit, that the Congo is right next to Rwanda. Democratic Republic of Congo is next to Rwanda. And there's war there, and they're at war with people in Rwanda. You know, how much money has the British government spent trying to send people and make agreements and international trade and all these other kinds of things with Rwanda, and they haven't sent a single person? They're only likely to be able to send 300 people a year in order to be able to do it. It's a farcical idea. You know, better to deal with them in country where at least we know that they're here. At least we know that they can be kept safe and the people around them can be kept safe. And it will cost us significantly less money to do that.
Okay, well, do me a favour, Stephen. Stay with me there for a second. I just want to play one of your WhatsApp messages. I do apologise, Stephen. You probably won't hear this, but our audience will hear it. Let's play this from Sarah. Hang on.
Hiya, Niall. The old Dundrum Mental Health Hospital, right? There's nobody in there at the moment. Not fit for purpose for people, mental health, right? That's big enough to fill the refugees hanging in around town, right? Slam them all in there, right? Keep an eye on them, so you have them secure, right? There's no way I think you should be checking in at borders or anything like that, because you know, you're going back in history. Go back to basics. That's the only way this is going to work, because they've made a balls of it so far.
They have.
That's my ethos on it.
Thank you for that, Sarah. They've made a balls of it so far, she says. Let me just go to Maureen. Maureen, hi, how are you?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. It's been a little while, Maureen. Well, thank you very much indeed for joining us.
I want to say congratulations to you. I didn't
I've been speaking to you since you announced you were running. So
thank you very much indeed. And I hope I get everybody's. I know you can't vote for me because you're in Cork.
No, but you've
got a good candidate down there, Michael McNamara, by the way, can I point out, if you wanted to vote in the EU elections. But in saying that, everybody in Dublin, I hope you all give me your number one vote, or number two if you can't. Thank you very much, Maureen. Now, Maureen, getting back to the situation we have here, what is the answer?
Well, first of all, as was Sarah Jane, she was on your WhatsApp. Well, they have. They made a complete balls of it. First of all, we should be having a general election, Niall, with the local elections, the European elections. They should have been gone. We know all that. Put that aside. I have no idea what they're thinking up there now. But as far as I'm concerned, they stopped them at the border. People are saying, oh, well, we have a hard border. That's rubbish talk. A border is a border. And there's a border in every country for a reason. It's to keep undesirable people out who may be a potential threat, or you know it's going to cause trouble. And we were saying often, well, isn't it illegal to enter a country? Is that not a crime? No, it isn't. Not according to the EU member states legislation. It isn't a crime. It's not. But it's a return procedure will be initiated.
But hang on. To be clear, if you enter Ireland with no documentation or passport under Irish immigration law...
You shouldn't
law,
be entering it at well, all.
No, I'm just pointing the point. That is illegal under Irish law. And people have been prosecuted with that.
Remember, Niall, hold on. We are not a sovereign country as such.
No, but I'm explaining to you, Maureen, there has been at least three or four cases in the last month.
This is in black and white in the EU member states legislation.
Oh, no, I'm aware of that.
And you can also find
that
what you want in the 1951 Convention Travel Document and the Aliens Act in Europe. So this business of, oh, it's illegal, because if it was illegal, none of them would be entering any country. If I rock up to Cork Airport tomorrow morning and I have no passport, I have nothing on me, oh, hi, I'm so-and-so, I'm just off to Portugal for me, sun holiday. Do you think I'm getting on an aircraft to Cork Airport just to fly to Portugal in the European Union? No, I'm not. Because they don't know who the hell I am. How do we know who's coming across the border from Northern Ireland? That's why we have borders. We have them for a reason.
Yeah, we don't know.
And if it means putting the border in place, get the defence force, get them out there and pay them to do something. Bring them back from the Lebanon and wherever the hell they are and bring them back to this country. It's here they're needed.
But here's the problem, Maureen. And I understand the point you're making. I understand the point everybody's making today about a border in Northern Ireland. You know, we do have the Good Friday Agreement. You know, we do have a common travel area between Northern Ireland and the South. We really don't want to be going down that road because there's the tensions. But hang on. Tensions are still rife in Northern Ireland. There are, you know, there is still sectarianism. You still have the unionists who wouldn't be too pleased with the idea, for example, if we put a border down the sea. You will have the nationalists who won't be too pleased if we put a border in Newry. You're never going to keep everybody happy. And as soon as that border goes up and a barrier goes up and there's a load of guards on one side and PSNI on the other, or whatever it happens to be, because I imagine there would have to be both, you know, that is going to cause huge political tension. And we don't want to go back to the 1970s.
And whose fault is that? It's not our fault.
No, you know who I blame? The Irish government.
Yeah.
They're making... Sarah summed it up.
In Leinster House.
And I'm sorry to use the language, but they're making a ball of it.
What we really need is now, right? We need our exit. We need to get out of the dead den of iniquity that is now called the European Union. That was once called the European Economic Community.
That's a whole... Hang on, Maureen. That's a whole other debate. I understand that debate. There's a lot of benefits. There's a lot of negatives to being involved in part of the European Union. And I get that.
More benefits than negatives.
I would suggest there is a lot of benefits being part of something bigger. And you could say that the farmers of Ireland wouldn't be too pleased if we left the European Union.
Yeah, but hold on a second. There's a lot of people in this country want out of Europe because this is what us ordinary people who are out and about every day are here.
I can tell you now, if you had a referendum tomorrow for Ireland to leave the European Union, it would fail.
I'm beginning to wonder that now. I wouldn't be coming to that conclusion too quickly.
And I know, because I can understand what people have seen in the benefits of being part of something bigger. The European Union was originally set up for countries to assist each other and help each other. I'm not denying it has turned into almost a dictatorship at this stage. I get that.
It has.
But hang on. And I'm not just saying this because I'm running for election. That's up to us, the people of Europe. And I can see a big shift this year in the European elections back to the centre and back to maybe slightly to the right again. And that dictatorship will slowly but surely stop. The European Union can work provided there's balanced opinions within it.
No. Okay. I'm all for getting out. When the UK joined the EU, the UK were cute. They held on to their sterling. They didn't go and get this, I call it now, monopoly money. Where, what do? Throw away the punt. The idiots.
Hold on. I don't have time for that today, Maureen, but I will come back to it again. I do promise you. But in the meantime, you believe a border. You know, Stephen, I'm listening to a lot of people saying a border in Northern Ireland. That worries me greatly. And Yuri.
It is. It is an unworkable nightmare that we know is an unworkable nightmare. We've known for, 50-odd years now that it is an unworkable nightmare. And it's not going to happen. No government in Britain or the North or in Dublin is going to let that happen. It's not going to happen.
But I understand the frustration of people ringing in today to say it should happen, because what's the alternative? We can't allow a situation where we have thousands of people who are now being advised by their own barristers and legal teams, free legal aid in Britain, because they're getting letters, as we heard for those who missed it at the start of the show, they're getting letters saying you are now a candidate to go to Rwanda, and their barrister is saying there's no way out of this. It's already gone through the Supreme Court in the UK. We can't fight it. If I was you, off the record, I'd go to Northern Ireland and go down to the South. And that's what they're being told.
Go east to Estonia or Latvia or down to Netherlands or up to Finland or somewhere like that, but get off the island. I understand. They could just as easily go north to Scotland, where the Scottish government won't deport them. But here's the one last thing, because I do kind of need to get ready to get to work. But everybody says whatever they want at an election. Rishi is scrambling for the thing that will excite his base and hopefully save his political skin. This won't happen. There won't be mass deportations. It won't be a massive flight to Rwanda.
I completely agree to you. There's no doubt he's showboating, right? I completely agree with you. But the fact that you get a letter, if you're an illegal immigrant in Britain and you get a letter, or just the news at the moment and they're watching the news, if you're illegal, you're probably watching the news, looking at what's going on, where do I stand? The fear of that, according to Rishi Sunak himself, the fear of that is enough to deter people from wanting to stay in Britain. And and that's not a bad thing. And as yesterday we were talking, of course, to Grip Media, and we're talking to John McGurk, and he said, well, then Ireland needs to do the same. We need to put that same fear into people that if you come to Ireland illegally, you're going to be deported somewhere. Stephen, I know you have to go to work. Listen, thank you very much indeed. Let me go to Renee. Renee, hi, how are you?
Good night, how are you?
Good. Renee, what's the solution?
Well, the floodgates are open now, unfortunately, and it's very hard to stop it now, but government needs to be changed for sure, right? That's number one. Government needs to change. What's the solution? I don't know. The solution is, I'm on the same length ways with the border. We need a border, for sure. If you look at North America, you have Canada, America, there's a hard border there. It's needless, and it's as simple as that. You had a guy on yesterday, he was over in Perth. And he gave a good example. He was saying that, if you go to Australia with no passport, you're not coming in.
You're not getting in. Yeah, of course. You're not getting in. That's the end of it.
You're not getting in. That's the end of it. And
you won't even get out of the airport. You'll literally be moved from one room to another to wait to get the next plane back to wherever you came from.
Exactly. And if you did manage to get in, you're not going to live off the state. They're not going to hand you money or a house or whatever. They say, right, that's it, you're gone, out,
But what I can't understand is the Irish government keeps talking about this idea that, it'll cost a lot of money to charter planes and blah, 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 blah. And I'm going, well, hold on, make the airlines responsible. If Johnny, from a country who is clearly an economic migrant, right, is coming into Ireland with no passport, no documentation, there should be a holding room or a holding at Dublin Airport or at Rosslare or wherever it happens to be. And then Johnny should be just put back on the next Aer Lingus flight or wherever the airline is, back to wherever he came from. And that should be their responsibility.
Exactly. And that's the only way you're going to manage it, because right now we're in a complete mess. Now, I have two children, okay, both under two. And my youngest, who's 4 months old, needed to see a doctor, right? He was a little bit ill. And my doctor told him, turn around and said, oh, you've got to ring in the morning. We haven't got the capacity anymore. This is the next problem. We have no doctors to look after our own. You know, we have no housing. We have no school buses. We have no crash spaces. We have no, you know, it is absolutely crazy. It's not that bad that we're literally thinking about, and we both have good jobs, that we're thinking about immigrating.
Where are you thinking of going, Renee?
Well, there's a few places we have in mind. Possibly Canada or the US, you know.
Okay. But, you know, that's sad. I hate to. I mean, and by the way, you know, I don't blame you. A lot of people feel the same way at the moment, you know, because they feel so disheartened by what's going on, and that's a sad place to have Ireland in, isn't it?
And there is no end to it now. Do you know what I mean? It's like when you talk to your friends, and there's women that turn around and go, "Oh, I went to drop my youngest lad off to music yesterday, and me and my daughter, who's 6 years of age, went to go for a walk in the park." And she said, I was afraid to get out of the car because there was so many, you know, men standing around the park area that she said, I didn't get out. You know, I mean, this is...
Well, I mean, I was listening to Clarity earlier on, who lives beside Tent City, and she can't even go for a walk anymore.
That's the problem, you know. And, like, my mother, she lives over in Germany, okay? And this happened over there a lot longer than happened here, and I can see what happened over there, what's going to happen here. You see, there's women in their 70s, 80s getting raped at bus stops in the broad daylight. There is last week or the week before, there was two girls, age of 13, were raped by six men. You know what I mean? And this is what's happening, because we are letting unvetted men into this country that we have zero idea about. Zero.
I know, and that's quite shocking to think that, you know, we have people coming into this country that we have no idea who they possibly are. They can tell us whatever they want. They can spin us a yarn and tell us their name, but we don't actually know who they are. Suzanne, let's go to next. Is it? Yes, sorry. Suzanne, hi, how are you?
Hey, Niall, so much information here. Great show. I wish you had been in Europe 4 years ago, and we probably might be in a different scenario.
Well, I certainly wouldn't have signed the EU Migration Pact, that's for sure.
No, I know that. And the debate is on tomorrow, and I hope everybody has emailed their TD, which I have done. Niall, solutions for me. Ireland really, if Simon Harris was any good, they'd look at the Denmark solution, where we have the clause 2 to opt out. We have a crisis coming down the road. I'm just saying, you're asking what solutions. I've worked in kind of crisis management in the past. We have a situation of we're looking at results here. You need to go back and look at policy. You've said already this morning we have a soft policy. We have a soft policy, and we need to change our policy, number one. The process of bringing people in, you've said alluded to this morning, we don't prosecute, blah, 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 blah. Any solution here needs a proper task force to look at the policy, look at the process, be able to pull out reports from that and then analyse. It's like when Helen McAtee is on news last week. She doesn't have any facts. So every bit of that policy process, analysis results, and I know that sounds very top level because there's so many things going on here. I'm listening to so many people that your head would melt, and listening to Clarity talking was fantastic because we need people to speak out on Main Street. We need to hear that the guards are saying go softly, because I'm shocked at that, but I'm not surprised at that.
I mean, her friend was assaulted. They're losing value on their properties. They're urinating against her walls. She doesn't feel safe even going to the shop. The Tesco's van driver was attacked, according to her. And the guards are being told, you know, unless they're doing something seriously wrong, like don't do anything really about it. We don't want to cause tensions. I mean, what sort of...
And then they're calling people in Newtown and Kennedy who are protesting. The latest thing this morning I saw on Twitter, calling people who voice
terrorists. Yeah.
But Niall, all I'm trying to say is I'm not going to rabbit on here and repeat what people said. But you've said it too. When COVID came, they were able to erect these tests for vaccines overnight. Like 1 minute, we're talking about it. The next minute, they were in Crow Park. They were everywhere. What they need to do is something similar in the short term. But I suppose my thoughts on it are it's going to get worse before it gets better, but the government needs out, and we need a proper task force in to look at policy process and know. Like, for example, I'm asking this question, and it's a total red herring. Of all the Ukrainians who come into Ireland, how many are working? I heard statistics 4 weeks ago.
The statistic is really low, actually. It's from what I don't quote me on this, but I think it's about 30%. are working.
Okay, but that's something that we need to be, like as you said, weekly podcast every week when you go forward for your election. We get all these facts thrown at us. We need, like, I have a real analytical head. It would be so easy to look at. And I think somebody else said it, I think, yesterday. We're giving people too much money. If they want to come here and apply for asylum, they get no dole. They go into, you know, an open place while they're assessed. They get their food. They get some pocket money. We're too soft in Ireland. We're too flip and soft. And then we can give help to the people who really need it and not the...
So
the
you, what you're saying is we need to take a tough approach. But in the interim, and I couldn't agree with you more, by the way, people who come in here with no identification, they shouldn't be allowed into the country. It's as simple as that.
Yeah. And that's something we could implement.
We've got to be tough. And the other thing, by the way, in relation to what you were talking about, you know, the tents and the good soft touch approach with the guards and everything else, this is all because of NGOs. We're listening to NGOs who have their own personal vested interests. They don't have an interest in you. They don't particularly care about you. All they care about is their own personal vested interest that they're being funded by the state for. And we need to stop listening to them. Ignore them.
Well, I have one other proposal for that.
Oh, I think I've lost you there, have I? I've lost you, Dan. Let me just go to Billy. Billy, hi, how are you?
Hey, how are you keeping?
Yeah, sorry for keeping you, Billy. I do apologise. I lost Suzanne. We lost her line. But the point I was making to Suzanne is we need to take a tougher approach. Our approach is just too soft.
You made a reference to airlines there. So I had a couple of flights over the last couple of weeks. Every flight that I booked into, I had to put my passport number in. My document was checked by the airline. And when I came back in, immigration checked my passport when I came back in. I don't know why people are coming to this country without documentation. Before you get on the flight, before you get into the airport, your documentation has to be given to issue a boarding pass.
I know, but they're destroying it. We've spoken to airline staff. They're destroying.
If it's destroyed, the airline should be responsible to return those people to the point of entry. Yep. 100%.
Yep.
Right? Suzanne there was kind of... What she sounded like she was saying was saying that what she was describing was direct provision with regards to putting people places, feeding them, waiting until the process has been done. And we know that the Green Party policy and government policy at the moment is to end direct provision.
I have no problem. And even Stephen, by the way, who would be to the left, suggested that realistically, we do probably need detention centres. When you have people coming in with no identification, you know what I mean?
I would be in agreement. There does probably need to be some sort of holding point for people that are coming in here to have their applications processed. But what needs to happen is that there can't be countless judicial reviews. There can't be a case that, you know, what was the figure last week that there was 8,000 people that they, you know, they're not sure if they're gone or not. Mm. Like, what are the Garda National Immigration Bureau doing with these details if they don't know
here's the thing, really. They're not implementing anything. I mean, Michael McNamara made the point that there was, I think, 300 or 400 people, whatever, the receiving countries and the safe countries had agreed to take them back. And how many were sent? 3.
Exactly.
What the hell are they doing? They're not doing anything. But during COVID, as I said earlier on, we could set up systems. We put in there, some of them didn't work too well, but we did put systems in place overnight. We set up tracking trace centres. We set up, you know, vaccine centres. We set up all of these things. We changed laws to deal with the different phases, the nonsense phases, mm-hmm. overnight. We did all of that overnight. But yet we don't seem to be able to set up a situation where we can't stop criminals coming into a country, for example, because we don't know who they are. They're not all criminals, obviously. Some of them are.
No, Niall. And if they're coming in and we can't track where they've come from, yeah, that is a problem. But I will say one more thing, Niall. I think this government, and you know, I've talked about the government before, if I was to make a prediction, I think there will be a vote of no confidence in Helen McEntee, and I would be questioning whether the independents that backed Simon Harris as Taoiseach in the last couple of weeks will back her, because she's become a bit farcical at this stage. You know, we had the Dublin riots. I was surprised that she was reappointed as...
What happened in Newtown, Mount Kennedy the other night was a disgrace.
I don't know the full details. I don't know what Garda tactics are, and I don't know why the Public Order Unit was put in. So I won't comment on that.
Nobody does.
I'm not okay with the reasoning there. So I wouldn't comment.
And you know what? The government are at fault for what happened there. The government are at fault for what happened in Castlereagh. The government are at fault for what happened. The government are creating this problem. They've created this monster.
Stops, the buck stops with the minister, but it would have been the on site commander who would have called in the public order unit and would have deployed them for whatever reason.
I watched the videos. It was unnecessary.
I'm just telling you what the logic there would be. It would be on the site. They would make that call to call in the public order unit, and would have to have a justification.
Well, then why are the public order units, you know, down there in Mount Street, for example, when there's gangs, there's drug dealing going on, when there's people pissing against railings, attacking people, attacking vans, delivery drivers. Why aren't they down there dealing with that? Because as Clarity says, and she's taken her and her friends who live in the area, the residents there, are going to take a class action lawsuit against the state. Because protest. It's a protest.
If you go to any other European capital, I'm sure you're familiar with Belfast as well, you will see guards or police officers walking around in groups of five and six on the main thoroughfares. If you go to France and you're in Paris near the Eiffel Tower, there is a platoon level of policing ready to go in case something kicks off. In Dublin, you're lucky to see two guards walking together at any time, and most of the time they're in a car. So, you know,
would you like to live near that, by the way? Would you like to live near that? No.
Near Mount Street, what's going on? No, I think that's, I don't think anyone.
Can I ask you an honest question? If you got a letter in the door saying, you know, the community centre up the road from you, or two doors down from you, or 10 doors down from you, or across the road from you, is going to have, you know, 200 refugees coming in, and we've all seen that they're generally males, would you be happy with it?
I don't think I'd be happy with it.
Don't say I don't think, Billy. You wouldn't be happy with it.
Well, Niall, I don't. As I said, it hasn't happened. So you're giving me a hypothetical.
I'm going to take you straight off the bat. I wouldn't be happy about it.
Yeah, but Niall, the thing about it is, the only recourse I'd have there would be to go to my TD, go to my local councillor, and complain. But as we've seen, that doesn't seem to do much in this day and age.
This idea that we're vilifying, you know, people all over the country who have an issue with it or who might have a concern about it, is wrong to vilify them. They have concerns. They're entitled to concerns. They're citizens of the country.
I'm not saying that we should vilify anyone. If they live in an area, they have an entitlement to let their, you know, to have their voices be heard. But there has been some actions by groups where buildings have been burnt down.
I don't condone those actions. I don't condone that behaviour.
That's uncondonable. I don't think anyone in their right mind could condone it.
But the whole point is none of this should be happening in the first place, because none of it would be happening if the government were making the right decisions. If the government weren't allowing people swan into this country like it's an open border. And it is an open border. Nobody gets refused.
Well, just on the open border.
And nobody's kicked out. And nobody's really kicked out either.
Just on the open border thing now, because I've heard some people mentioned putting a hard border on the island. I would say that those people have a very short memory of the Troubles, because one of the prime reasons was the border was there and that border question was there. The reason the Troubles came to an end, or one of the reasons, was because that border and the patrols were removed from the border.
I know. I remember. I remember well.
And I would just say, if we go down the route of putting a hard border up, you can say goodbye to the common travel area that's existed since the 1920s, which means that every Irish citizen living in the UK would have to get a visa to remain there.
Listen,
so
Billy, thank you very much indeed. Sorry for cutting you short. Sorry, thank you, Billy. I appreciate you coming on the air, and I know you're on your break there at the moment. I want to go to Carla. Carla, hi, how are you?
Hi there, Niall. First of all, well done for putting your neck on the gauntlet. And
thanks very much, Carla.
Yeah, no, and I think you're mad, but you're the right type of mad that we need.
I'm a good type of mad.
yeah.
So Carla, how do we resolve this situation, which is only going to get worse rather than get better? Because obviously the United Kingdom now are encouraging people to leave and to come here, probably.
To be honest, my brain's been in a complete tizzy since Newton Mike Kennedy last week. Both that and the November riots threw me as like a mother of a very young child who isn't receiving special needs services and who has been on a waiting list for 6 years. Mm. We may or may not get seen by the time he's 13, 14, 15.
Yeah, that's wrong. And yeah, I know how wrong that is.
It is. It's good. It's got me on the joke.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, the only way I can see any shift happening is with the ballot box and voting and all the rest. And I have major concerns because I know that, you know, your demographic, you know, that age bracket, so a lot of them will just forgive, you know, a lot, and they'll keep, you know, the faces that they're familiar with in power.
Yeah.
And I never thought it would come to this, but I feel it's the only way is I implore anyone of my generation, I'm 35, born in 88, please have conversations with your parents, your aunties, your uncles, who will be voting alongside you in the upcoming elections in the next 2 years, because it is, I know it's horrible to have uncomfortable political conversations with your family and friends, but it is vital. Now, at this stage, we are on life support. And if the right people don't get in, you know, it's going to just...
Yeah, we can't deal with another 5 years of it, Carla, is what you're saying. That will be the end of us.
It will be the end. And, you know, I just implore my generation to get and have the uncomfortable conversations with their parents, their aunts, their uncles, their...
And who will, but just very quickly, because I've got to go to Joanne, but who will you be voting for, Carla, apart from me in the European elections? who will you be voting for?
Irish Freedom Party, because I believe the EU is poison. And I just implore my generation to implore their parents' generation.
Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you very much indeed. Appreciate that. Let me just go to Joanne as well. Joanne, hi. How are you?
Hi, Niall. How are you?
There you go.
I just wanted to make a quick point, and it's important I say this. The Mount Kennedy residents have come out and said the government are using this axe, you know, that, oh, there was an axe there.
Oh, yeah, I know. That was mentioned on Katie Hannah's last night.
Yes.
Let's clarify this, by the way. The reason there was an axe there was because the man was chopping wood for the fire that they were sitting
around. Absolutely.
That's the reason the axe
was
there.
So it's convenient for them to use it.
I don't think it was used for any other purpose.
Yeah, no. But sure, they're just going to keep lying and gaslighting. But anyway, first thing I want to say is I hope you will be the Nigel Farage if you get in. I really want you to.
Do you know what I said yesterday on Twitter? If I get elected, and I'm confident, but if I get elected on the 7th of June, I will make sure I am the EU's biggest headache.
Absolutely, a thorn in their side.
Absolutely, but it'll be all for Ireland. Trust me.
I'll tell you what I think is going on, and you can agree with me or don't have to agree with me. But I really truly believe this. They have allowed this situation now to get so bad that we will beg for the migration pact. That's what I see going on, this agenda.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They want to tie us into this now where we're going to have to take 30,000 a year and pay 20,000 for the ones we can't accommodate.
Yeah.
That we can't accommodate what we have. But yet they want us to sign into this. Okay.
Well, you're thinking correctly there, because I only put that up yesterday as well, by the way, online, that I, you know, call me cynical, but I do believe that this is a very smart idea by the government to some degree.
Absolutely.
Because the chaos will have us begging for the migration.
They'll have us begging. They'll have people begging for it. And it will not work. It will only make our situation
absolutely
worse. Because if we can't accommodate what we have now, how are we going to take 30,000 in a year? So people are not thinking straight, not critical thinkers like you, Neil. So people need to wake up to this. And we have to do something about
okay,
it.
Okay, so what's the something? Very quickly, because I've got to go to John, Stephen and Joe and everybody else. So, Joanne, very quickly, what is the solution, you know, today? I don't mean when I say today. Something has to be done now. Not in 6 months or not in 8 months. It needs to be done now, because we have an ongoing problem now with the United Kingdom where we're going to see a huge amount of people, you know, using Ireland as a safe haven. So what's the answer? Is the answer a border in the Irish Sea? Is the answer a border in Newry? Is the answer to get tougher and send guards up there onto the border? Well, I mean, what's the answer?
Well, my answer is just plain and simple. Just kick them out.
How do you stop them coming in the first place? If you have, I mean, people can just drive from Belfast down to Dublin.
Yeah, well, I mean, to be honest, that's why we're paying the likes of Helen McEntee so much money for her to figure out.
Ah, look, she's useless.
I don't care. Niall, sorry, no. We have people in this country, they've sent out the riot squad to elderly people and spray painted or whatever, spray their eyes and everything
the other night. Yeah.
Right? Because they're under pressure to get the druggies in Mount Street out. So they wanted to put them into the field in Newtown Mount Kennedy so the next lot could come in. And Stephen earlier, put them up in this old bank that's closed down or whatever. Sure, then next week there's another 500 come in to replace them. This is never, ever going to stop. We have to be tougher now and say, ouch, sorry, we cannot take you in. The Irish people really need to wake up, be up there next Monday for that march. Right? Now it's the time, because it's not going to get better. It's going to get 100 times worse. And Nigel Farage said it to you months ago, didn't he? He said you ain't seen nothing yet.
He's 100% on the money too. Let me thank you for that, Joanne. Let me just go to who's next? Oh yeah, sorry, John's been waiting forever. John, I do apologise.
That's all right. Niall, I forgive you.
That's okay, John. Sorry about that. Sorry to everybody for delaying you all today. John, what's the solution?
Well, we're in what the Americans call a clusterfuck, a perfect conjunction of bad happenings, and solutions are very thin on the ground. Helen Tato McEntee has no solutions, that's for sure. Just more waffle, Gardaí sent to our porous borders and so forth. Helen would serve Ireland better by consulting not that English PM, Sunak, but by going to Poland and Hungary and meeting the bosses there. They're both EU members. They're not joining any EU migration pact and have never, ever accepted one guest from the international Muslim communities.
So you believe she'd be better served having a chat with Viktor Orban than having a chat with Rishi Sunak?
Absolutely. Okay. Draconian measures are now needed, Niall. And quick, nobody believes this coalition will espouse a serious deterrent anymore. We've been lied to for too long. We need new visionaries in Dáil Éireann. What would Michael Collins or Eamon Kent or Connolly, Plunkett, Pearce, what would any of them do today were they in Dáil Éireann? I don't know. I haven't a big...
I do believe, I don't know a huge amount about them apart from what I read, but I do believe they would want to protect our borders.
They would. Oh, yeah, Michael Collins, I'd say, would take no bullshit from any invasion of illegals.
He would have sent De Valera up there to deal with them, yeah.
Okay. Anyway, look, here's a suggestion. Here is my tuppence word, and it's the only way to do it. The Curragh Plains is a vast, empty area in the centre of Ireland, inhabited only by sheep. The ones with four legs, at least. The rest of us, I'm afraid, have only two. Mm. Anyway, we need tents and huts and portaloos and a large containment fence with only one entrance and one exit. We need to emulate Poland and Hungary, who do not accept dictates from Brussels. We need to send a new message and send it now to the whole world. Twitty O'Gorman's tweets have been rescinded, cancelled, as of now. We're not converting any more warehouses or hotels into comfortable accommodation for people who are arriving here with false documents or no documents, not even a national identity card from their country of origin. Lastly, but not leastly, we need to stop sending armour-suited SWAT squads with tasers, batons and tear gas, pepper spray,
yeah.
Batter and bruise good and decent citizens who are seeing their towns and villages overwhelmed by these people. This coalition is an axis of evil and they have gone to war with their own citizens. Look, 6th of May, everybody, please, please come in your thousands from all over the country. We beat them once on the water taxes. They backed down. They did something. I'm not sure what they'll do now, but by God, they'll have to do something because the people will not take it. They will not take it any longer.
Thank you very much indeed, John. I appreciate it was worth the wait. Let me go to Stephen. Stephen, hi, how are you?
I'm not so bad, Niall.
Stephen, I suppose this one lands on your doorstep because they're talking about a border again in Northern Ireland. We all have memories of that, don't we?
Well, we do. And then, you know, the Irish government basically said the PIRA would come back if there was border. Mm. The boogers are never gone away. Neither did the UDA. They're still there. They're still running the show up there. But apart from that, it's not going to work. whenever I travel on, used to travel on the ferries a lot, that I know from being in the north and having people who, because I worked in a hospital, I had to have security clearance and stuff like that. They told me that they actually know who gets on every ferry. The only thing that has actually changed is that whenever the Good Friday Agreement came in, it became laxer. But when the protocol came in, Ireland argued for nothing. No checks, nothing. So, it's, you know, the UK knows who's coming.
Well, this is what Rishi Sunak said yesterday, that, you know, the Irish people can't have their cake and eat it. They wanted no border. They demanded no hard border. And now they're saying, oh, well, hold on for a second. You know, you can't be sending people back. You know, or you want to send people back to us. He says, ah, you can't have it both ways.
Well, this is an EU problem. It's not a UK problem. In reality, every person that enters the UK could be booked back to France or put straight
back. Well, they can't. They can't because the EU won't allow them to. This is the problem because Britain are not in the EU anymore.
So we should be doing...
Well, then maybe we could do that. Maybe we could organise a boat and send them back to Cherbourg. I don't know.
No, we should be just sending them straight back. You know, as soon as they enter the country, even, you know, and they go down to register where... In that
the iPass.
Yeah. That they should be just arrested, taken to Dublin Airport, and sent straight back to France, Germany, Poland. You know,
there are some a small amount who are genuine refugees, and you don't want to be sending somebody back to a war, right? So there are but the rest of them, the majority are not.
Yep. First point of entry for most of these people is Spain. Straight back to Spain. That's it.
Or Italy.
If they don't like it, you know, just go. We can't afford to keep them. We are getting to a stage now, I feel, where there's going to be severe if this weak government, that the NGOs run this government, they run RTE, they run the press. You know, Simon Harris phones the NGO before he comes on. He says, what should I say?
Yeah, well, what do you think I should? Remember, of course, these funded NGOs with your taxpayers' money don't have your best interest at heart. They only have their own interest at heart. Stephen, thanks for that. I'm sorry I'm getting through people very quickly because I don't have too much time. Mary, hi, how are you?
Hi, Adrian. Listen, I have a couple of points. First of all, the EU have a database and we recognise if anybody has a criminal record, you know, within the EU. We don't recognise if somebody's coming from Africa or any other...
No, we have no way of finding it. We don't even know who they are, for God's sake.
That's number one. Number two, if you go on to the Department of Foreign Affairs and you want to go to Africa, it tells you, as a person, what to look after. Women have to be careful going out on their own because of rape. There's carjackings, there's knife crime. Now, that's the people that lives there. It's not a group of people that come from another country. They're the groups of people that we need to be looking out for. Now, I have a couple of another few points to make, and you're going to go mad because I'm not going to keep you up.
No, go on.
First of all, the Ukraine, I took in a woman and two children from the Ukraine. And they said very openly that they weren't fleeing war. They were coming home here for education. They didn't live anywhere near where the war was. And actually, as a matter of fact, one of the ladies, her sister was 40, and they'd done a FaceTime to a hotel in Ukraine where she was having a big party bash. So she has sent her two children, in the meantime, have gone to Trinity. No cost to nobody, only the taxpayer. Now, that's absolutely disgraceful.
I'm well aware, by the way, that there are many people who come from Ukraine who are genuinely coming from a war, but there are many who are just taking advantage and abusing the system. Yes.
Yeah, and I'm saying that I know that. There's people saying, oh, well, I know that.
I personally know a friend of mine who lived in the United Kingdom, lived in London, worked for a company, was working remotely from his apartment in London for a company, international company. He's originally from the Ukraine, but he left for Ukraine going back, 7, 8 years ago. And when this all happened, he moved to Ireland. And the reason he moved from Ireland is because he gets his rents paid free. And he's still working remotely for the same company.
Well, one more thing I want to say to you before, I don't want to take up your time, but anyway, like, okay, so the government are saying, number one, right-wing and racist. Okay, so just hear me out. I don't want any of the illegal migrants in, but just hear me out for a minute. The government are calling the right-wing terrorists and whatever else. But when the government took the women and children from Ukraine in and put them in housing, right? Just listen to me, hear me out. and gave them a proper job seekers allowance, whatever they give them, a proper amount. Why did they bring, now I'm not, realistically I don't want this, but I just have to ask the question, why did they bring all the illegal migrants in and treat them differently? Are the government racist?
I understand the point you were making, and it does seem like it's discriminatory, but I know they were brought in on a different system, which was a waiver system rather than as asylum seekers. They are refugees, obviously, but it was a different system. But I agree with you. Are you treating people differently just because they happen to be from a different country or a different color of skin?
Absolutely. Yeah. They are. I mean, what's this waiver system? The waiver system means nothing now because they're all illegal coming in. So the government were rightly, outspokenly racist from the word go. Another thing is they wanted women and children for Ukraine. So, you know, we got the women and children. Is the government knowingly, openly saying, actually, just give us the men? Because, you know what, we couldn't care about the women.
Mind you, we were told, by the way, it was only going to be women and children and elderly people over the age of 60, because if you were between 18 and 60 years of age, you had to go to war. You were conscripted, of course, in Ukraine. But it does seem like there's a huge amount of Ukrainian men have actually come here as well. So which essentially means they're breaking their own laws of their own country because they're meant to stay there.
Yeah, exactly. And we have to ask the question, why is our government not tracing the women and children like they did for Ukraine? Why are they just tracking the men? Do the governments not care what happens to those women and children? Or is it just, come on in, men, we'll leave the women there to deal with whatever? Because, again, if you go on the Department of Foreign Affairs, it tells you South Africa is a very dangerous country. It's number one in the world for rapes, and it has... Like, the rapes are number one. If you see the statistics,
I know the statistics are high. I'm not too sure exactly what the statistics are, but I'll take your word that you read it, Mary, but I don't know what the exact statistics are. Sorry, Mary.
I'm talking to you now. I looked up everything before I spoke to you.
Okay.
But if they're leaving the women to deal with that, you know, anyway, look, go on.
That's okay, Mary. You've had your say. Listen, thank you very much indeed, Mary, for coming on. I appreciate it. And don't forget, by the way, everybody should be voting for me in the European elections.
Voting for you, number one.
Oh, thank you, Mary. All right, let me go to... Joe, hi, how are you?
Good afternoon, Niall. And again, I want to congratulate you on your campaign for the European Parliament. I think
thank you very much, Joe. Appreciate it.
I think you'll walk it, Niall. I'm going to actually
I have them all rattled. I have them all rattled now, Joe. They're rattled.
Well, there's a political earthquake coming, and Mr. Boylan is the man. He's going to change Europe forever.
I'm going to be a thorn in the EU's side.
Exactly. You're going to put the fear of God in them.
But Ireland's best interests at heart, always.
Exactly.
So, Joe,
do
getting back to what we're doing now, we've got a nightmare on the way, it seems, according to the British, according to Paul Turner, who I spoke earlier on to, who suggests that many people will now come to Ireland because they're being encouraged to do so by their own legal teams. So what do you think we should do, or how do we solve that problem?
Well, I think the shit has hit the fan long ago, Niall. I'm afraid when Simon Harris reappointed Helen McEntee and left her get away with murder, what do you expect, you know?
He referred to her as his good friend and good colleague, so, you know.
A good friend, yeah. It's embarrassing. I tell you something, Niall, we're in big trouble, my friend. We are in big trouble. I can tell you now, there's going to be a major, major tragedy going to happen in this country.
I hope not.
I hope not either, but I'm afraid they will, because I can tell you, it's not looking good. And a lot of people are very nervous. I'm talking to a lot of people here in Cork now, and a lot of women with children and even men, and they're terrified of what's going to come down the tracks. Mm. I'm not myself terrified, because I can smell something when it's going to happen. With respect, Niall, they should have been all deported long ago. We shouldn't be taking all that amount of people into this country. We don't have enough of room for our own people, not to mind anything else. And it's getting to the stage now, Niall, right, where the government don't give two damns about the people of this country. They're only interested in their own agenda. It's kind of ironic. I think they're actually... I never remember the day that a government would do such a stupid thing like this. I think it's the worst thing ever happened since... It's even worse than what happened in 2008 with the bank guarantee. It's political carnage.
Well, society... Well, yes, it has a much bigger effect. It can have a huge effect on society, although the recession did have a huge effect on society too. But this can have a very devastating effect on society as well. And by the way, I don't disagree with you, Joe. I think they're the worst government and opposition parties that we've ever had, ever, in the history of the state.
For sure, you had Sinn Féin coming out last Sunday.
Ah, don't mind
again.
Them.
I know.
Sinn Féin are now saying, of course, they're kind of agreeing with the people, right? But that's not what they were saying a year ago. You know what I mean?
No. Yeah, but
There were Sinn Féin candidates over a year ago out there, you know, marching with the All Are Welcome Brigade. So look,
don't
tell me now you're disagreeing with it.
No. I wouldn't expect anything else, but they're going around now saying that housing is the most important thing than anything. Like, you know, now that's all right. We do have a housing issue, but we have a major immigration problem in this country. And I can tell you something, it's not getting any better. And they should be deported, all these people coming here. Like, we don't need all these people coming in here.
Okay, people coming in illegally, you're talking about. Yeah, people coming in illegally.
Yeah, exactly. I have no problem, Niall, with people coming here if they want to work and contribute to the state. But unfortunately, and you see it there now on the news there, there's freaking carnage going on up in that street, Mount Street in Dublin. And that's what's happening around the country. And the sad thing about it is, the state have turning a blind eye. They're turning everybody against one another. And you even have the state, the Gardaí now, who are turning on the people. And it's, you know, something that's... It's very dangerous, Niall. It's very dangerous. And that's why I can't wait for the debates to come on. I'm actually getting my box ready now for when you come on the TV, because anytime you're going to be on, I'm going to be recording all the...
The
interviews
debates
that you'll be doing.
Yeah, I got to get your popcorn out for that one, Joe. Listen, thank you very much indeed, Joe. I appreciate it. I still have a few people to get to. I need to get to Bernie, Maria, and Jason. And for some reason, it's all gone a little bit pear-shaped on me there. But let me just go to Maria. Hi, Maria.
Hi, good afternoon to you, Niall. Congratulations on your candidacy.
Thanks so much.
I just wanted to draw attention to the listeners. This time last year, Verona Murphy, TD for Wexford, at a PAC meeting, a PAC meeting with the Attorney General, the Secretary General of the Department of Justice, Una Phillips. A question was posed to her. This time last year, it was acknowledged then by the government that nearly 70 to 80% of, as I would call them politely, international guests were flooding the country, were coming in with no documentation in any way, shape or form. Verona Murphy, I'm going to say this paraphrased, she put the question to Una Phillips. So when are we going to have additional staff to be deployed in the areas, in our ports and in our airports, to be able to deal with the huge influx of individuals that are coming into the country from outside the EU state and crawling across a couple of countries? She did say in her response that it would be sometime later this year. Has that happened? I mean,
no.
With everything that's going on, we can see very clearly that there's a breakdown with the Department of Justice.
Look at the embarrassing situation in the Oireachtas the other day, where she already knew about those questions because they were already printed in the paper 3 days ago. She was requested for those figures 3 months ago from her department, from Michael McNamara, and yet she sat there looking confused, didn't know the answer, and two people from her department sitting behind her didn't even have the figures to hand. So clearly it's not just her, it's the whole department is a mess.
Also as well, I mean, they need to have a refresher course on constitutional law. When I heard the other day, no disrespect to the commissioner, but when I heard him voice very clearly in relation to what happened up in Newtown Mount Kennedy, that they were doing their duty in allowing, say, the builders and their stuff to be able to transport from A to B, hence that's why they were moving the peaceful assembly protesters aside. Number one, it's our constitutional right under the Constitution, European Court of Human Rights, international law, our inalienable rights in peaceful assembly to protest. During the course of that, it is not on Garda Síochána's duty in which to move protesters to allow for the facilitation of building materials to go from A to B.
No, it's the Garda Síochána's job. Their job is to keep the peace.
Our job as the electorate and our job as people to be able to peacefully assembly to protest. We are allowed to peacefully assembly to protest on a public road. We're not allowed to block private property as such. However, we do have to allow for traffic. We have to allow for traffic for emergency services vehicles on one side of the road. Apart from that, we are absolutely 100% allowed to stay there for as long as without any impediment from An Garda Síochána. They were totally, totally out of order. And also as well, what I find massively dangerous is when you're seeing on RTE from the himself from the Irish Times were that we're now being called those who are, you know, out there who are massively concerned in relation to this present government's failed immigration policies. We're now being labelled terrorists. That's a dangerous road to be going down. They've already exhausted all of the other adjectives, and now we're being called terrorists.
I did hear that mentioned as well last night on Upfront.
That's right.
With Katie Hannon. Katie Hannon. And say that, you know, we're moving towards, you know, the idea of terrorism, you know, and I find that, now, bizarre, by the way. And by the way, I do want to condemn, you know, I don't want people to be violent. I don't want people
when
to cause criminal damage.
When they're trying to push through the Criminal Justice Incitement to Hate and Hate Crimes Act, it's very convenient that they're all using all of these adjectives in relation to this so-called far right, which doesn't exist, in order to push through the Criminal Justice Incitement to Hate and Hate Crimes Bill to again quell our free speech, you know?
Yeah. I agree with a lot of what you're saying. Maria, just very quickly, because I have to go to Bernie, Joe and Jason. Don't go yet, Maria. I was just going to ask you.
I was just going to ask you
just finally, what do you think we should do to stop this problem getting worse over the next 6 or 7 weeks with people now being encouraged to leave the United Kingdom and come to Ireland?
Well,
so is a border the right
Ireland
thing to do?
Ireland like Denmark, we have the choice to opt in to this migration pact.
Oh, no, we should opt out of that, yeah. We should opt out of
that. Oh, well, absolutely that. Well, we've the option to opt in. Number one, we shouldn't opt in. Number two, first and foremost, because it actually affects the direction of this country, we the people should be afforded a referendum with that. Because as far as I'm concerned, and what I can see is, it seems to be a change of terms of definitions in relation to the Dublin regulations.
Well, there are 5 pieces of legislation built into it within it, which means that we do have a right for the Oireachtas to sign a petition, send it to the President. The President can call what they call under the Constitution an ordinary referendum, because it's not a constitutional change as such. It's an ordinary referendum, and that's up to the people. Maria, I'm running out of time rapidly. I do apologise. Thank you very much indeed. Bernie, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall. I know I sound awful, but I think we need a hard border for temporary measure now, sooner rather than later. And also, we should get all the buses lined up at the border and take them straight down to the Rock of Gibraltar and put them back.
Right.
And we pay for it as a taxpayer, but they don't need all the money they're getting. They're getting hand over fist. I was in the post office here in a little village on Thursday, and 4 new Ukrainian men of 25 to 30 year olds were signing up for our dole.
Yep.
And they were supposed to be conscripted into their own country. That was only last Thursday. And another lady, my age, in her 60s, she was signing up to. So they're still coming from Ukraine, on top of what's now been going to be huge. Like, now it's going to be the end of our country as we know it. We'll have to leave our own country. That's how I see it.
It is. I know a lot of people have a huge difficulty seeing the demographical change of the country, and I understand that. And I understand why people feel a great fear around that. I remember Simon Coveney many, many years ago said Ireland could have a population of 10 million people. Now, the only way we could ever have a population of 10 million people is if we improve our services, improve our infrastructure. And it's not going to be Irish people, obviously, because we are only having a birth rate of 1.7 people, which is below population replacement rate. So, you know, that's going to be a problem for the future. But in saying that, Bernie, I understand what you're saying. And we can't just keep letting people in unvetted, as they say.
Yeah, we have people in Australia and New Zealand who are young people who want to come back and make a life for themselves here, who can't get back because there is nothing to... They're terrified to come back. I have nieces and nephews in their 20s and 30s who went out to Australia and New Zealand. They want to come back. They want to have their children here. They want to raise them in the Irish way. But they can't come back because there is nothing. They got educated, did their leaving certs and did their education, paid all their degree things. Giving people free education, free money is wrong. Give it to our own people first. Stop giving it to other people. And, you know, like they're growing on our misfortune. Mm-hmm. They're getting degrees and they're doing 3 and 4 degrees. I can't even afford to go to college.
Well, you heard what Mary, I think, was saying earlier on, that she had a Ukrainian woman and her child living with her, now obviously an older child, and the Ukrainian woman admitted that she only came here to get an education for her child in Trinity.
But how come I can't get a child an education for my children?
You can if you pay for it.
That's what I'm saying.
It's so unfair. That system is so unfair. But I had to pay for my son, for example, to go to college, you know, 14,000 over 4 years or whatever it was. You know, I didn't get it for free.
No, and why weren't you entitled to it for free?
Yeah, because I'm an Irish citizen.
Like, I mean, I'm reading here, Maria Walsh, things came through my door today, Maria Walsh, Nina Gunn, who the hell are these people?
Well, I find the Maria Walsh ones, they make, you can make nice little paper hats out of them. It's a bit odd, though, good for her, to be honest with you.
She said that she was engaged.
By the way, I can't see her getting re-elected. Well, according to the betting and the odds, she's way down the bottom. When I say the bottom, she's certainly down closer to the bottom than she is the top. I can't see her getting re-elected. By the way, remember, of course, Maria Walsh signed the EU Migration Pact.
Yeah, crucially, I've been a strong voice in the west of Ireland and Europe. Personally understand the challenges and opportunities. She does on her arse. And they were published by Simon Coveney, the director of...
Oh, yeah, he did a little video with her yesterday telling the world how great she was.
But it's in Mount Street. His office is in Mount Street. Surely he's walking by all those poor creatures.
Oh, no, he is. And Clarity, who was on at the start of the show, who lives in Mount Street, and her friend was sexually assaulted. She can't go out on her own anymore. You know, they're pissing against her railings. They're dealing in drugs, or they're taking drugs. You know, they're violent. There's crime gangs involved in them now. And she said, and the guards are doing nothing about it.
And if you did that to if an Irish person went and you know there's no toilets anywhere, if she went and sat down and had a pee somewhere, you'd be arrested.
Of course she would. But not only are we treating people with kid gloves, the laws don't even seem to apply to them. There's no law.
Why isn't the army patrolling the streets at this stage? This is how bad it feels to me. I wake up terrified every night that someone's going to break in and. You know, I've never had that fear before. I'm afraid to leave my car unlocked. I'm afraid of so many things now. I woke up this morning crying because I read the news on about UK sending all these people here. I'm so scared every morning. I shouldn't feel like this.
Bernie,
I'm scared all the time.
You're not the only one. There are so many people in Ireland feeling the same way, but the only people who are not feeling the same way are the government and the NGOs who are supporting them.
I shouldn't feel like this, Niall. I have paid my taxes. I've worked hard. I will continue to work hard. I will stand at the end of the road here if I thought turning a bus, going to everyone and asking for the papers. I thought it would help. I would do it. I'm not shy of work, but I'm so scared. I'm so scared every day.
Bernie, I'm really sorry. And I don't want to hear you upset. I know you are because out of all my callers, I know how passionate you are and you really care about this country. I know you do.
I do. And look, I'll stand at the bus stop. I'll go up to the north and they'll stand on the border and ask people for their ID. I'm not a shy person. I just feel I don't want my children to feel this and I don't want my grandchildren to fear this. I don't, Niall. I really don't. I don't think anybody in my age group wants this for their country. Nobody does.
Bernie, thank you very much indeed. Thank you so much indeed for coming on today. Let me just finally go to Jason before I finish up today. Jason, hi. How are you?
Afternoon, Niall. How are you?
So sad to hear Bernie so upset. You know what I mean?
No, they don't care about us. They're just thinking of votes. Look at the election coming up. Look at the people they're putting forward now. They know they're losing. They need the votes. Niall, can you...
if you go on to Boyle Sports, you can see that I'm up the top up there now.
Good, good.
That's right in their little cages, isn't it?
Yeah, well, that's what we need.
People shouldn't vote for me because I'm doing well. I want everybody to vote for me. And I know, Jason, you're not in my...
I'm not where I stand on that. I'll be looking after somebody in my area that's associated with you or your party or an independent that.
Absolutely. And by the way, you know, I don't mind people giving them, you know, even in Dublin, the second preference vote if they want to give it to Irish Freedom Party or whatever. But what I'm saying to you is, Jason...
Anybody's better, Niall.
Yeah, tell all your friends in Dublin, Jason, that they should vote for me.
Oh, come here. Everybody knows me now. It listens to me on this and I'll tell you. Niall, can you find out something now that you have your greasy hands in the greasy power?
Yeah.
How many men have come into this country in the last 5 years? And how much does that outnumber our security services? If you can understand what I'm asking.
Yeah, I don't know the numbers. I can tell you the numbers are roughly 220,000 in the last 2 years. That's including people from Ukraine and people from... Now, they're not all men, obviously. But it's 27,000, I think. I think the figure for start of this year alone so far, or this year alone, is 7,000 for seeking international protection. Primarily, they'd be all men.
And we have, on average, if we're lucky, 9,000 army personnel, 12,000, 13,000 guards.
7,000 army personnel now, is this Defence Forces? Yeah.
Somebody do the maths there and get back to me. That doesn't sound good.
I worry about it like everybody else. And by the way, there are some genuine people who are fleeing war and what have you. But there are people, we've no idea who they are. They could be rapists, they could be murderers, they could be robbers or thieves. And not only that, people have a fear because there's a cultural difference.
No, their cultures will never mix. I've been saying this as long. Unfortunately, go back through time, go all the way back to the 4 centuries, whatever you want to go, BC, AD, whatever. The two cultures have just never, ever, ever mixed. They never have, they never will. Can you point to me one country in the world where forced migration, multiculturalism, all of this, forcing all different cultures to live together in the one spot has actually worked, where they've all integrated? There is no white area, black area, Hispanic area, Muslim area. Can you show me anywhere in the world where everybody lives nicely, happily alongside each other? No, because unfortunately, cultures just sometimes...
Unfortunately, there are very few examples of where multiculturalism works. No, yeah,
very few. And it's sad.
Okay, but getting back to the problem we have now, you know, where we see this problem is probably going to get worse because obviously people are fleeing the United Kingdom now to come to Ireland, who've been there for some time, possibly illegally.
Fair play to Richie. Fair play to Richie Sunak. We need somebody like him here. Somebody who's actually listening to his people. And his people are telling him, we have too many people coming in. You know, I mean, they're taking in millions themselves legally, you know, that way. And it's, as they said, we know these people that are coming in, we're vetting them, they're coming with documentations. Why would anybody who's looking for a country to look after them get rid of all the documentation? And Niall, do you want to know how they're getting from the ports into the city? The guards run a lovely minibus, brand spanking new out of Dublin Port every day. Right? They load them onto it and they drive them straight into town.
I was told that there's bus services now offering trips from sort of Larne down to Dublin.
Straight down. I mean, I'm on the M1 every day. I never see one patrol car up around Carlingford, Dundalk, even go up as far as the Carrickdale Hotel. There's never one guy in the car there, yeah? But yet when COVID was out, Niall, you couldn't get up that second road.
I remember it. Yeah. And not only that, I mentioned earlier on, the foot and mouth 2001, you couldn't get across the border. Yeah, you weren't allowed across
and
the border.
All of a sudden,
unless you washed your feet.
Check on it.
Do you remember?
All of a sudden we can't. Yeah, I do, Niall, because I'm at this game that long, I do.
You had to drive your truck to all the disinfectant and you had to wash your feet in the disinfectant.
We had to drive our trucks. We had to drive our trucks through special truck washing. I remember it, Niall.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden now we can't. But as I said, Niall, I mean, why would these so-called politicians do anything? This is their voters they're going for now. They've lost the majority of the Irish people, I'd like to think. It'd be interesting to see the demographic of the way people are voting now. Is it going to be migrants voting for the Fianna Fáil, the Fine Gael, the Sinn
Féin? Well, they can vote, which I disagreed with Sharon Keoghan when she said it. They can vote in local elections.
That's ridiculous, man. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah, then they can't vote in general elections, but they can vote in local elections. But the idea that somebody who is waiting for an application to know if they can stay in the country as an asylum seeker can actually vote for something that will have an effect on people's lives in this country for 5 years, to me, just seems like the most bizarre thing in the world.
Niall, the country's changing too fast, too quick, and the government ain't taking into consideration how the Irish people feel. You must remember, we're a little rock in the North Atlantic off the coast of Europe. We were always suspicious of foreigners coming across the water because of what happened to us through England. You know, people who live on islands are more suspicious of people who come across the sea. I mean, that's just gone back through history. That's just the way it is. You know, and this government has came in. They've railroaded over our culture. They've destroyed whatever base of family we had in this country. I mean, we've no money for the schools, we've no money for the hospitals, we've football clubs screaming out for funding, we've all these OAP people screaming out, you know, stuff that looks after the people who actually contribute to the country and pay their taxes. And how much of that have now we given away, like, to tidy up other people's messes?
I understand. Listen, thank you very much indeed, Jason. I do apologise. I have to cut everybody a little bit short there now because we've run out of time. We've gone way over time, actually. Some of the messages, by the way, coming in, it's straightforward. You take away the incentives, says Tig. Come to Ireland and they won't come. To come to Ireland, they won't come. You let them know if they enter Ireland via the north that they will be sent back to the UK. And if that fails, send them further afield. Maria says, close the borders immediately. Andy says, send the army to the border at the at Connolly train station. They're not just coming in through Connolly train station, by the way. They're coming in through the border has so many holes in it. Tom Ryan says, how can they bring in laws when the courts have already ruled that she can't send them back? This is madness. And unfortunately, this could get very dangerous and tricky very quickly. But the problem, Tom, was they didn't actually change the law. There was a loophole in the law that we didn't recognise before, but the High Court recognised. They've now closed that loophole. But that still doesn't mean that Britain will take them back, by the way. It just means that we can send them back. Britain can just send them back over to us again. Dory McAllister says, and that, my friend, is why Leo fecked off. Yeah, maybe he saw all this coming. Tina says, and now we know why Varadkar and Coveney jumped ship. They knew what was coming. Sandy says, do what they should have done from the start. Deport those all. Or deport them, sorry. And we should be deporting people who shouldn't be here, by the way. Those who need to be here and need to be helped, that come from war, we should be looking after them. And those, by the way, who shouldn't be here, who arrive here with no passports, no identification, and arrive here illegally, should be deported like they would be from most normal countries. But we don't seem to be a very normal country. Okay, let's have a listen to some of your WhatsApp voice notes that are coming in here.
Hey, Niall. The one thing that gets me is I'm amazed how the Irish government, you know, lets them claim, when they're claiming asylum, the process, and they're just allowed to walk around the streets willy-nilly, drinking cans, taking drugs, you know. That process, that even that has to change. They need to go to a compound. I don't want to call it a prison, but they need to go to somewhere where they're confined to an area. Make it be Spike Island, whatever. Build a massive complex that holds 20,000 people, 10,000 people, whatever. And that stops them walking around all the streets willy-nilly, mugging people, you know, whatever, sexual assaults, as that girl said earlier on, that was living on Grafton Street. Cuts out all of that, and they should only be allowed to enter Ireland when their asylum claim is passed. And if it's not passed, they're taken under handcuff out to Dublin Airport and gone. And that process, I just can't understand that, you know. And that talks that girl was saying earlier on about putting them into the Dundrum Asylum. Well, what happens when that place fills up? Where do they go then? And then another building, and that building fills up. They need to, personally, I have no problem with a hard border, you know, that's, and what that other girl said, I would also vote to get out of the EU, I have no problem with that either.
Niall, I find it very hard to accept the way lefties think, I really do, look what they're doing to this country, and I believe lefties were reared with a silver spoon, they were reared on the diddy, okay, on the trumpany bit, the mother's trumpany bit. And if someone said to them, listen, we're going to build a 6-foot wall. No. It's an 8-foot wall is what we need. And they will stick to their mind no matter what. So I believe lefties, okay, they know that they are doing wrong. But they're such big babies that they will not give in to the way we think, in which the right and centre think with common sense. Lefties think with the silver spoon in the mouth and are just big babies and will not give in. No, that's mine, I'm taking that. And they probably don't even want it. No, we have to let refugees in, and they know that they shouldn't be letting them in. Big babies on the trumpany bit all their life. That's what, and I just can't seem to fathom the way they think. Right, centre, common sense, lefties on the trumpety bit all our lives. Cheers.
Cheers, Neil. Thanks very much indeed. On the diddy. I haven't heard that line in years. Thank you to everybody who got involved in the show today, by the way. Don't forget, please do support the podcast. As usual, you can go to our website, nileboylan.com. Remember, you can subscribe or donate. Things are tough. We have to pay the bills. So please, if you can donate, we don't get paid for doing this podcast. The three of us work on the show. We do it for nothing to give you a platform. There is no other radio station or media in this country live every single day that gives you a platform to have your opinion. I'm the only one who does it. And we go to a lot of expense and trouble to do that, to get guests on the show, as we did earlier on, you know, to have people on, the experts on every now and again, and then have you on to have your opinion, uncensored. Because nowhere else will do that for you. But we do it because it's your show. So please do support us. Go to our website. If you can, you can donate there on the website, nileboylan.com. That's nileboylan.com. Now, in other news just before we go, in case you didn't know already, because loads of people congratulate me if you've just tuned in, I am running, of course, for Europe this year in the Dublin constituency. Yes, I want to be an MEP and represent Ireland and Dublin. The people of Dublin and the people of Ireland. I will be a thorn in the EU side. I promise you that. They will know that I'm coming. Thank you to everybody, by the way, for all your support. At this stage, according to some of the probability polls and the betting, it seems that I'm doing extremely well. But that's not a reason for you not to vote for me. We want to give the government and the establishment parties a good kick in the hole, because that's what they need. Let's do what we did during the referendum. Let's do what we did during the last general election. Let's give the government a kick where they need it. But don't go to the opposition, because, of course, the opposition have been the worst opposition in history. Sinn Féin, who were the party of U-turns, who were waffling on last night and up front about how they support people when it comes to the immigration crisis. They weren't saying that about a year ago when some of their own candidates were out marching for the all refugees are welcome. So realistically, we cannot support an open border system. The Social Democrats, of course, have a soft touch approach to it. So do the people before profit, who'd be quite happy to let everybody wander into this country. But I won't. And I'll be in Europe fighting your corner. I'll be the one who'll be standing up fighting for Ireland to make sure that we don't lose any more legislation in this country or control over any more legislation and our sovereignty. I will make sure we take control of that legislation. I would have never signed the EU Migration Pact. And if it comes before the European Union again, and of course it will be updated as time goes on, I will be voting no every single time, because Ireland needs to control its own borders, its own sovereignty and its own legislation. Remember, 75% of the legislation comes from European directives that we have. So it's important that we have good representation. And people often say to me, Niall, but if you look, if it's just you, sure, what use is your hand going up? Because you look at the rest of Europe at this moment in time. There's a shift happening because people like you all over Europe are getting cheesed off and they're voting for change. And that's what I want you to do. And if I'm there with those other people voting for change, we can all make a difference to the laws and the sovereignty of countries within the European Union. The European Union was meant to be put together for countries to assist each other and help each other. But because of the type of MEPs we've been voting for the last God knows how many years, that hasn't been the way it's been. It's been one side only. Well, not anymore. That's about to change. Politics is changing worldwide. Be part of that change and vote for me on the June the 7th. Niall Boylan, give me your number one vote and tell all your friends in Dublin to do it as well. Go to our website, by the way, please. We're going to be having a few fundraisers, and because I'm not the richest person in the world. We do need you to donate there as well. If you can donate a few quid, you can go to the website, nileboylanforeurope.ie. It's on the screen there. Niall Boylan. Over here. Yeah. nileboylanforeurope.ie. Go there and you get all the information you need. So before we finish up, let's watch this. Hi, my name is Niall Boylan. Of course, you know me from the radio station. I'm talking to people every single day. And you know what? They're sick of the government. I love this city. I love Ireland. I love the crack. I love the cave meal of Falcha that it's offered us for thousands of years. But we need change. And over the last 4 years in particular, I've noticed those callers are getting angrier and very frustrated because they feel voiceless. They're listening to a government who are not listening to them. An opposition party who don't seem to oppose. They've ignored us on so many things, so many important issues. They've ignored us on mass immigration with a reckless immigration policy. They've ignored us on healthcare with waiting lists getting longer. There's 4,000 children in temporary accommodation as the homeless numbers rise and rise in this country. But what have they done about it? What have they actually done? They've made promises but done nothing. Our business communities are suffering with closures every single day caused by skyrocketing energy costs and a government that refuses to reduce the VAT rate back to 9% to help those businesses stay open. And many people say they don't feel safe in our city, with crime figures that seem to be getting worse every single day. And that's why I'm here. You can see the doll in the background. And remember, in that building in the doll in the background, very few of those people are actually listening to you. But some people are listening. Michael Collins, Michael Fitzmaurice, and Richard O'Donoghue, Independent Ireland. And that's why I've decided to run as a European MEP and be the real voice of Dublin for Independent Ireland, for honesty, integrity, and real common sense. I'm not a politician. In fact, I'm not even part of the establishment. But I think that's what we really need. We need real change. And we need people to stand up and be counted and represent the people of Dublin. I'm a proud Dubliner. I'm a proud Irishman. I'm a good listener, and I'll speak honestly and openly for you, the people of Dublin and the people of Ireland. So please vote for me, Niall Boylan, on the 7th of June, and I'll be the real voice of Dublin and the real voice of Ireland in Europe.
The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Podcast. Listen live on Facebook, YouTube, and all the usual live stream services. To get in touch, just WhatsApp or text 085 100 2255.
The Niall Boylan Podcast. They told me to shut up. Available for download from all your usual platforms.